time would come when the Lord's name would be acknowledged as one. Just one God. Just the thing the Bible teaches from cover to cover. Remember, the Lord said to Moses, tell the children of Israel, hearken Israel, your God is one God. All running through the Old Testament, it's likewise. In the New Testament, St. Paul says, to us there is but one God. And since we know this, friends, positively know that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus tells us with his own lips, Revelation 3:14, I am the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus had a beginning. But our Heavenly Father never had a beginning. He's from eternity to eternity. The night of sound, we read, O Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place to all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the world or the earth, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And thou turnest man to destruction. But thou sayest, return, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, and as a watch in the night, and in the morning of the kingdom, they're like the grass which grows up. Now here, my dearly beloved, we have a positive statement that our Heavenly Father is from eternity to eternity. Never had a beginning or will ever have an ending. While your Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation that Jesus had a beginning. Jesus was the Son of God. And God is the Father. You see, friends, in the book of Revelation it tells us plainly too that he was the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. The beginning of the creation of God. And St. Paul tells us likewise in Colossians 1:15 that Jesus was the first, that's the beginning, you see, the first born of every creation. That ought to settle it in any mind. Now then, the scripture here teaches that the Lord will be king over all the earth in that day. And that day, we believe, is the 1,000-year day. 1,000-year reign of Christ, which is taught in your Bible everywhere. Now as we go into this, I realize, friends, that perhaps you never heard a subject of this kind. The King's Highway, but it's scriptural and we'll prove it. There's no such highway upon the earth today. I serve in Canada often, and they have a King's Highway up there and a Queen's Highway, but that's for pedestrians. This highway will be different. This highway, friends, will be in the minds of the people, as we shall see. But the Lord will cast up that highway. The prophet Isaiah told us also that this highway, Isaiah 35:8, would be a highway of holiness. No unclean thing shall pass over it. That entire 1,000 years, there won't any unclean thing pass over that highway. Oh no. They'll have to clean up. And the Lord is going to give them ample time to do it. Now, let us look at it in this manner. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, talking to his disciples and therefore talking to us, enter ye in at the straight gate. Oh, there is a wide gate, Jesus said, a broad way that leadeth unto destruction, and the whole human family have been on that broad road that leadeth to destruction. Father Adam was the first one to enter upon that Broadway. And the human family are on that Broadway tonight to destruction. But this destruction, friends,
would not mean and could not mean an eternal destruction. Because he said, return, ye children of men. They're going to return, you see. It's an age-lasting destruction. The original translation tells us it's an age, and not eternal. How much better that is. And so the Lord Jesus here, beginning in this setting, is telling us of a narrow way of self-sacrifice. We'll pause a moment. There's some more folks at the door, sister. Car stopped. No, there's two chairs in there, and there's two here. Three. Chairs over on this side, folks. We want to sit there, and there's a couple back in there. That's right. Our subject for tonight is the King's Highway. And we were quoting from the words of Jesus. Jesus here is teaching a narrow way of self-sacrifice, because he said in the 14th verse, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there'll be that find it. And we positively know that that's true, that only a few during this gospel age has found narrow way of self-sacrifice. But you know, the Lord Jesus and the apostles and the prophets tell us that there's going to be a highway for the people. After the Lord selects the bride, as St. Paul told us in Acts 15 and 13, God at first visits the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Or in other words, after the Jewish house were cast off at the first advent of the Lord, and the Lord turns to the Gentiles, and out of the Gentiles he's picking out a class of people to become the bride of Jesus. And this entire gospel age is for that specific purpose. And Jesus said that they would all walk in the narrow way of self-sacrifice, and few there'll be that find it. And then Jesus said, fear not, little flock, talking to his bride class, those that'll bear the name of Jesus, those that'll be with Jesus and see him as he is and share his glory, the kingdom class. He said to them, fear not, little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And now you see how beautifully the Bible harmonizes. The Bible doesn't contradict itself, but it's harmonious from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible has been misunderstood because the people haven't rightly divided the word of truth. They generally apply scriptures that belong in the world that then was before the flood, they apply them now. And scriptures that apply in the next age, when the King's Highway is established, they apply them now. And therefore, they're all confused and can't understand the Bible. Now, friends, let us get it straight. The Bible is the most wonderful book ever written. But we must rightly divide the word of truth, as we shall see tonight. Firstly, the narrow way of self-sacrifice. Jesus speaks of that. While the whole human family, from Adam to down to the time of Jesus, 4,128 years, were on a broad road that leadeth to death. And they were all going into their graves. And there wasn't one man that could keep the law, was there, in those 4,000 years? That's right. That's why God sent forth his Son, to keep the law and fulfill the law. And he nailed the law to the cross. And in that wonderful act, Jesus Christ, with the grace of God, tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2 and 9. Now we're beginning to see that Jesus died for all. But firstly, during this gospel age, he would select the bride. And the bride isn't quite finished yet.
But we believe
now, very soon, the bride will be complete, the marriage will take place, and then the blessings will flow to the entire human family. And they will all be placed upon a highway, the King's highway, as we shall see as we go along. Jesus said these words, and Peter said that this class are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. As St. Paul said in Ephesians 1:14, that they're chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Who are elect? Who are chosen? His bride class that he's selecting during this gospel age. Only one here and one there. Those that are willing to follow in the steps of Jesus. Those that are willing to lay down their all upon the altar of sacrifice with the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And they're hard to find. It's taking 2,000 years to find, select, and create the bride of Jesus. But as soon as they're all selected, the program will change. Will you say how long? Well, the Bible tells us in Revelation 7:3, it says, hold back the four winds until all of God's servants are sealed in their forehead. If God would let loose those four winds tonight, they would wreck civilization. What are the four winds? The fallen angels, the demons. But the Lord says, hold them back. Hold them back. Otherwise, we'd had the battle of Armageddon long ago. But you see, they're not all yet sealed. The door is still open. We're singing that beautiful hymn, I am the door. Come in, come in. And leave without all fear and sin. You see, friends, we've made a mistake. You know, we thought that we were to convert the world. The Bible don't teach that. Not now. The gospel age was never for that purpose of converting the world. Is it being converted? Look at all of continental Europe. What is it? Barbarism, the antithesis to civilization. All going into a radical spirit spreading all over the earth. And you might as well take a broom and try to sweep back the waves of the Atlantic Ocean. You can't stop it. Because the Bible said it would come, and here it is. Firstly, the Lord is selecting his bride, and they will be associated with him, and rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. What for? To convert the world. That's why. Cast up that highway, and look at it. Now here's the scripture, where would you apply it? Well, before present truth came to me, I would apply it now, but that's wrong. Listen. 55th chapter of Isaiah. Ho, everyone that is thirst, and come unto the waters. He that hath no money, come and buy. Could you do that now? No, you can't do it. You've got to have your hand in your pocket all the time. Haven't you? Indeed you do. But the time will come when they'll come without money and without price and drink of the water of life freely. That applies when the king's highway is cast up. When the kingdom is established, haven't we been praying, thy kingdom come? Or have you been praying, thy kingdom depart, thy kingdom go up? You never were taught to pray that. You were taught to pray by the Lord Jesus himself in the 11th chapter of Luke. Lord, may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done where? In Chico, in earth, even as it is done in heaven. Then the king's highway will be cast up. Then the human family will get the truth. Then the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Then it will be said, ho, everyone's athirst, come and drink of the water of life freely. Come without money and without price. Won't that be grand? And it isn't far off. It's just around the corner. Yes. And how thankful we are that we learned about the narrow way of self-sacrifice. If we enter the narrow way and we follow in the steps of Jesus and follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, what is the reward? The crown of life. The crown of life is the highest, highest, highest form of life. Jesus said, to whomsoever overcometh, will I grant to sit with me upon my throne, even as I have overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. Mean to become a king, to walk in the narrow way of self-sacrifice. As soon as it is complete, then the work will begin upon the human family, as we shall see as we go along. This positively proves that God has a plan, and he's carrying out that plan according to the counsel of his own goodwill. You know, friends, in that wonderful chapter, the 35th chapter of Isaiah, tells us so plainly that then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstuck, and the lame man shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Who are the blind? Those that are mentally blind. The millions of people upon the earth today all around us are totally blind. They don't know a funny thing about this. And you know it. All of those blind eyes will be opened. And all they want to listen today, you can't get them out. They don't want to hear it. They're satisfied. Time will come, friends, when their ears will be opened, and they will hear. When the knowledge of the Lord fills the earth as the waters cover the sea, but they won't hear now. That time will have to come, pictured right in that chapter, the 35th chapter of Isaiah. The 10th and 11th verses. The ransomed of the Lord shall return. They're going to return. Return where from? Return from their graves. Return where to? Right to the earth. Here's where they live. They're going to return from their graves. The ransomed of the Lord. Jesus gave himself for ransom for all, to be testified to all in due time. Then the ransomed of the Lord shall return. And how are they going to come? They're going to be angry. All these people are down their graves. They're going to be angry? No. No, no. They're not going to be upset or perturbed. For the prophet there said, the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and they shall come with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Where? Right here in the earth. Here's where it's going to take place. Not up there. Bible don't teach that. The creeds of men teach that, but it's all wrong. And it won't be long now when every man, woman, and child will know the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, Jesus said. That'll be grand, won't it? The king's highway will be for Father Adam and his family. Now let me call to mind a picture or an illustration. When Father Adam was in the Garden of Eden, and I believe he was, a young man came to me recently. I had that experience in Canada too, as well as in Texas. And he said to me, why? He said, Mr. Speaker, that was a wonderful talk you gave. But, he said, do you actually believe that Father Adam was actually created of the dust of the earth? I said, I actually believe it, and I can prove it. Oh, no, he said, we don't believe that anymore. Our minister don't teach that. Well, I said, what does he teach? Well, it was merely a supposition. Never happened. It was just supposed to be. I said to him, young man, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus? That he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a woman? Oh, he said, that's the same. It was just a supposition. That's what they're teaching the people. Don't you think it's time that the Lord would stop it? That'll be the greatest time of trouble the world has ever seen. It's just around the corner.
Yes.
They'll forget all about that when that trouble comes, friends. That nonsense. Instead of preaching the Bible the truth, they're all believing the evolution theory, you see. So I said to him, "Let me take your Bible." He said, "I haven't my Bible with me." Well, I said, "I'll take my Bible. It's just the same as yours. King James Version of the Bible." And I turned to the 8th Psalm, and there it says that God made, not evolved, but he made man a little lower than the angels. And we turned to the 2nd chapter of Hebrews, and I said, "Here it is again in the New Testament. And God made man a little lower than the angels." You know what that young man said? He said, "I never knew it was in the Bible." He says, "Now I'm glad." I said, "Don't you believe in that evolution theory? That's from the adversary. That isn't of God. Adam was created of the dust of the earth." And look, after he was created in the Garden of Eden and there all alone, God caused a deep sleep to fall on Father Adam. And then he took a rib out of his side. Or by virtue of the wound in Adam's side, Mother Eve was created. All the beautiful woman qualities of true womanhood was taken out of Adam. Eve was formerly in Adam. And God took those qualities out of Adam. And now there's male and female. Male and female created he them, and he called their name Adam. And there never was a man on earth since that. Only Jesus, who took the place of Father Adam. All we've had since that time is male and female. Right? You know that's right. But see, what is this picture to us? What we're talking about tonight. Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior, he's going to have a bride, just like Adam had a bride. Well, how will this bride be created? The same way. By virtue of the blood that flowed from Jesus' side, each one of the bride class come under the blood of Christ. Right? Well, you know that's right. We must come under the blood of Jesus Christ. Accept him as our personal Redeemer. And then you'll be clothed with the robe of righteousness. Then you will be decked with the garments of salvation. And then the Lord will seal you with the Holy Spirit. That's the way God looks upon all the bride class. Every true, loyal, faithful, consecrated Christian. That's right. And God, during this gospel age, is creating, selecting a bride for Jesus. When the bride is complete, the marriage will take place, and then the blessings will begin to flow to the human family. And the Lord will cast up a highway for the people. God will be king over all the earth in that day. That's a 1,000-year day. Not a 24-hour day. Oh, no. But a 1,000-year day. Wasn't Adam's day a 24-hour day? No. Adam's day was a 1,000-year day. He lived 930 years and he died. Genesis 5:5. He died within that day. What day? Well, the Lord says, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." 24-hour day? No, bless your heart. 1,000-year day. He lived 930 years. He died. And he's still dead. And he's waiting for the resurrection of the dead. And he's going to come back. Just as true as you sit in that seat. For Jesus took his place. An eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. The life of Jesus for the life of Adam. He bought the entire human family with his precious blood. To be testified in due time. And that due time is almost here, friends. Now, I'm turning over for some more scriptures. The reason I do that, friends, we don't want to get off the subject. Try to keep on our subject. Now, you know, there's been so many scriptures that have been misapplied. It's caused confusion in the earth. Now, I would never say anything disrespectful from all our brethren that claim to be Christians. No, no. The Bible tells we should do good unto all men, especially unto the household of faith. The Bible teaches from cover to cover that we should love them all. And that's our spirit to do that. But friends, there's been a great misunderstanding in respect to the Bible. Now, let me ask you an intelligent question. Why do we have, in the state of Texas alone, 40 different kinds of holiness people? 21 different kinds of Lutherans? 15 kinds of Baptists? And so on, so on. Confusion. Confusion. And what's confusion? Babylon. What's the word Babylon mean? Confusion. Don't you see the confusion in the earth? Because of misapplication, not rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if we'll rightly divide the word of truth, we'll never be confused, friend. No, no. Now, listen to this scripture. Isaiah 28:17. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. When? When the king's highway is cast up, then judgment for mankind will be laid to the lion and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. Isn't that remarkable? How could the hail sweep away the refuge of lies? Where is that refuge of lies? Right up in the minds of the people. Well, how could the hail do it? Well, the Bible, friends, comes to us in symbolic expressions. When you read in your Bible about seven horns, seven vials, seven churches, seven thunders, seven spirits, the dragon, the beast, the image of the beast, sheep, lions, and hay, wood, and stubble, sheep, and goat, all these things, what are they? Symbolic, highly figurative expressions. For instance, in the book of Revelation, we read that Jesus has seven horns and seven eyes. Now, wouldn't that be a phenomenon to see Jesus go down the street with seven horns and seven eyes? Well, when I was a boy, Mother had one of them large Bibles. And Freddie and I would like to look at the pictures once in a while. And we'd come to that one where Jesus had seven horns and seven eyes. And then that big dragon, we'd close the book. And we're ready to crawl under the bed. That kind of nonsense they were teaching the children. Intelligent men. The time will come, friends, but they're going to be judged for that. Individual judgment. Here it is written. What does that mean, that Jesus has seven horns? Well, let us look at the Bible. The sacrifice was put upon the altar to be sacrificed. And on the corner of the altars were four horns from an ox. And the blood was sprinkled upon the horns. What does that mean? The power, horn, symbol of the power. The power of the sacrifice. And seven means completeness or perfection. 6 days wouldn't make a week. It's all the sevens in the Bible. The seven horns means what? Complete power. Oh, Jesus has complete power. Isn't that beautiful? And eyes, what are they a symbol of? Wisdom. God sees the end from the beginning. One of his attributes is pictured by an eagle. Why? An eagle is keen of vision. Seven eyes. Wisdom. That's what eyes symbolize in the Bible. Seven complete. Jesus has complete wisdom. Complete power. Well, that's the kind of a redeemer we can love. And that's what your Bible teaches all the way through. That's why we have Bible study, to learn these things. Brings joy and peace and happiness to our heart. Satisfies our longings as nothing else can do. Every human being ought to do it. But they won't do it. Why? Oh, them people. Keep away from them people. Yes, we know. But friends, Jesus said it would be that. You shall be hated of all men. They shall cast you out of their synagogues, their churches. They'll persecute you. Why? Because you have the truth. What does the hail represent? Hail is frozen water. What does water represent in the Bible? The truth. Wells of water. The truth. Hard like hail. Hard, distressing truth will come. And it'll sweep away the refuge of lies. That's the only thing that can do it. Those lies are up in their mind, and these hard, distressing truths will take all of that out of their minds. And it's going to get harder and more distressing as you go along. Jesus said there'll be distress upon the earth with perplexity. I'll tell you, friends, it'll be perplexity, won't it? And we've got to be careful that we don't become perplexed too. Distress everywhere. Think how distressing it is. You go to the store and all the prices are gone up. Aren't you perplexed? Yes, but we knew it was coming. Let us not become perplexed. Let us have the peace of God that passeth all human understanding. But the world of mankind are becoming more perplexed constantly every moment. And Jesus said it would be that way down here in your day, in my day. Yes, friends, I'd like to call to mind one prophecy that's so badly misunderstood. Once in a while you'll hear it over the air too. Men use it, but they only quote part of it. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, beginning the 1st verse. When they cry, the big crowd, when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. And that's all they give you. But you know, friends, that's wrong. Let us never do that. Let us give up the entire Bible. And this is the way it reads. When they, the big crowd, and they've been crying peace for a long time, haven't they? When they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren, those that are in the narrow way, ye brethren are not in darkness, that day shall not overtake you as a thief in the night. You're children of the light. See that? Well, how will it come? As birth pangs upon a woman with child. Oh, I see. Well, please tell us, when did the first birth pang come? I believe it came in 1914, and that was a terrible pang, wasn't it? But it didn't bring the birth of the kingdom, did it? That was the first one. That's right. And then finally another one came, didn't it? But then we thought maybe this is the birth pang that'll bring the kingdom. No, it wasn't time yet. Why? Because the Bible says, I will overturn, overturn, overturn. 3 times. So there's one more to come. And everybody's holding their breath, aren't they? I believe that one will bring the birth of the kingdom that you and I have been praying for. Thy kingdom come. But it's going to take a birth pang. And the worst of all is the last one. Like travail upon a woman with child. Now, I didn't put that in the Bible. You didn't put it there. It's been there all the time. And Jesus said, these be the days of birth pangs. Pointing now to your day and my day. Prophecies like that, why, brethren, we could talk all night on them. There's so many. Being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Yes, the establishment of the kingdom is near. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, know ye, it's at the door. That's how near it is. Now let's look at this. This isn't all. Look. The hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and your covenant that you made with death shall be disannulled. What covenant do they make? They made a covenant together, all of them, that when a man dies, he isn't dead, he's alive. That's a lie. And that covenant that you made with death will be disannulled. Why? All those that you claim that didn't die, they're actually in their graves and they're going to come back. And when they come back, what a judgment that'll be upon you for what you've been teaching. Don't they teach everywhere there is no death? That's a lie. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, and you can't change it. And look at this other one. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement that you made with hell shall not stand. They made agreement to preach hell, eternal torment, but it won't stand. Why? Because the Bible don't teach it. The word hell never meant eternal torment. If you look up that word, it's the Hebrew word Sheol. And Job prayed that he might go there. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in Sheol. He wanted to go there. That's the Bible hell. Sheol. And they're all going to come back from the Bible hell. Sheol. Because Jesus said, all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and come forth. Well, they must be dead. Well, yes. St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:21, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive again. You couldn't make anybody alive unless they were dead, could you? Why not use common sense? Two and two are four. As in Adam all fry. That's what I was taught when I was a boy. The Bible don't say that. As in Adam all die. They're dead. But they must come back. But Jesus died for them. And he said the first will be last and the last will be first. The last one to die at Armageddon will be the first to come back. And the first one died way back there in the beginning will be the last. That's common sense, isn't it? Every man in his own order. Here's another one. Zechariah 3:8-9. I'm giving these from the Old Testament because Jesus told us to do that. Jesus said to search the scriptures, didn't he? Well, when he said that, there was no New Testament written. Was it? No New Testament in existence. And he told us to search the scriptures. And he quoted constantly from the Old Testament scriptures. Now we have the New Testament and the Old Testament. The whole Bible. Beautiful, isn't it? Zechariah 3:8-9. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, till I rise up to the prey. For it is my determination to gather the nations. You see how he's got them all gathered now together? That's what the Bible prophesied, and here it is. Well, why this, Lord? Gather the nations together, he said. Why? That I, God himself, I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation for what they've been teaching the people. That's why. God's indignation, his wrath, will come upon them. Well, then, when that's over with, what are you going to do, Lord? And he said, after this, I will turn to the people a pure message. They'll all have the truth. And they'll all be placed upon the king's highway. And they will all know the Lord. And they'll acknowledge God is one God. And they'll all have the truth. One pure message. Wouldn't that be grand? Oh, I wish it'd come tomorrow, but it isn't quite time yet. Because the bride is making herself ready. And I think the bride is almost complete. And the program can't change until the bride is complete. Don't you see? Now another one. Zechariah, 13th chapter, 8th and 9th verses. I think you like this. And shall come to pass in that day in all of the land and the whole earth. See that? Saith the Lord. Who said that? You? No, not I, but the Lord is speaking. Two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and a third part shall be left therein. You know, one man preached that one time, and he preached millions now living will never die. Why? Because he preached it wrong. He said two-thirds would be cut off and die, and one-third would be left in the fire, or left in the earth. The Bible don't say that. It says two parts shall be cut off and die, and one part shall be left in the earth. How large a part? Can we say it's millions? I have no right to. See what a great misunderstanding that would be? Two parts, but I believe, friends, the two parts that'll be cut off and die is the two parts that made a consecration to the Lord unto death. And that's the wise and the foolish virgins. And our pastor told us that way back in 1884, that those two parts would be the wise and the foolish virgins, because they must die. But the third part will be those that seek meekness and seek righteousness now at the end of the age. And they'll be taken through the fire, taken through the battle of Armageddon. Oh, do you believe that? Well, yes, that's what your Bible teaches. It said, I'll take the third part through the fire and refine them as gold is refined. And they shall call upon the name of the Lord. And Jesus said that but for the elect's sake, some flesh would be saved to go through the fire. And here's another good scripture for that. Psalms 41:1-2. It means for all those that now, at the end of the age, it'll seek meekness and seek righteousness, acquaint themselves with God's plan, and pray earnestly for that kingdom to come, that the Lord said he would hide them in the day of his anger. Take them through the fire. And here's the scripture. Psalms 41:1-2. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. We're already in that trouble. Yes, we are. Two birth pangs are over with. There's one more to come. He will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him, keep him alive, and he'll be blessed upon the earth. That's the plainest one we have. Keep him alive, bless them, and keep him alive upon the earth. Take them through the fire, through the great time of trouble. Now, we didn't put that in the Bible either. It's been there all this time. 4,000 years. Will it be grand when that takes place? Why do you suppose the Frank and Ernest program is on the air? You know, we have a 500,000-watt station in India. Reaches 80 million English-speaking people. Goes through Asia. Goes right into Palestine and Jerusalem, as clear as a bell. Reaches London, England, as clear as a bell. And we're getting mail from all over the world. That's right. Down in Africa, in India, classes being organized in Africa and India as a result of the Frank and Ernest broadcast. Monte Carlo, we have a 100,000-watt station in the Italian language. And in the French language. And do you know, we have now more than 50 Bible classes organized in Italy. That's right. And the Frank and Ernest program is given in the Italian language. And we have two pilgrims there doing the same kind of work that I'm doing. In Italy. Darkest Italy, and we never could get in there before. What are these people doing? They're seeking meekness and seeking righteousness. Italy is filled with a radical spirit, but there's some that are seeking after God. And when they hear Frank and Ernest, they come to our classes. I was in the home of Brother Caporanto, who lives in Rochester, New York. He was over there to help organize those classes. He said he served 35 of those Italian classes himself. Who's doing that work? Frank and Ernest program. Spectacular work, isn't it? Wonderful. All through Canada. This United States. More than 300 stations on the air every Sunday giving Frank and Ernest message. Same message I'm giving tonight. Telling the people about the glorious kingdom that's to be established in glory and in great power right here in the earth. Two parts shall be cut off and die, and I'll bring the third part through the fire, the Lord said, and I'll refine them as silver is refined. Now you have these scriptures to prove it, friends. Isaiah 32:1, behold a king, that's King Jesus. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. That will be awe-inspiring. That will be spectacular. That's the word behold means that. When you find the word behold in the Bible, it means something great, something spectacular, something awe-inspiring. Like when Pontius Pilate brought Jesus out in the judgment hall with a crown of thorns upon his head, and he'd gone through that terrible ordeal. Pontius Pilate had washed his hands, and then he pointed to Jesus and said, behold the man, greatest man that ever lived, man among men. The word behold means that. Look, behold, a king is going to reign on this earth in righteousness, not in propaganda and in lies, misunderstanding and confusion. But he's going to reign in righteousness. And princes shall rule in justice. Who are the princes? Well, the Bible tells us. Jesus told us. In Luke the 13th chapter, Jesus said to those hypocrites back there that crucified him, those Pharisees and scribes, he said, ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the holy prophets in the kingdom. These men shall be made princes in all of the earth. Then he says, men shall come from the north, the east, and the south, and the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. And where will that kingdom be? Right here on the earth, of course. Thy kingdom come. I bet you never heard a sermon on it in your life. No, I didn't either. But there it is. Words of Jesus. He knew what he was talking about, didn't he? Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in justice. Then that king's highway will be cast up for all mankind. How beautiful, how wonderful that will be. Listen to this one. Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates. This applies to you and to me, this prophecy. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Prepare ye the way for the people. That's what we're trying to do. That's the reason we give out all these cards and give out this message. Preparing the people for the way, the highway of holiness. Cast up a highway. There it is in your Bible. That's the king's highway. It's scriptural, isn't it? Cast up the highway. Who's doing that? The wise virgin class, those that are being persecuted and hated by the people today. But they're the ones that's doing the work. You see that? Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Get out that stone. Gather that one out. Eternal torment. Gather that stone out. Immortal soul doctrine. You can't find the word immortal soul or never dying soul in the pages of your Bible. Let us gather it out of the minds of the people. All of these errors are stones. And as we tell the people, we're gathering out the stones. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And cast up that highway. Lift up a standard for the people. What do the people need today all over the earth? A standard. What is it? The truth. That's what the people need. The truth of the Bible. And they're going to get it. The Lord's going to give it to them. And if he's got to put every last one of them to death. And that's what Jesus said. If it were not for the elect's sake, no flesh would be saved. Why? To bring them down on their knees to get those errors out of their mind. Then he's going to bring them back. He's going to bring them back again. Oh yes, they're not going to go down that grave and stay there forever. No, no, they're going to be brought back. Then judgment will be laid to the line. And when the judgments of the Lord are in the earth, now we'll just take for example, when the judgments of the Lord are in Chico, then the inhabitants in Chico is going to learn righteousness. Because the judgment of the Lord are righteous judgment. He's going to judge them righteously, teach them righteousness. Those kind of judgments are not in the earth now, but they will be after Armageddon. When the king's highway is cast up. You know, when I was in Malcolm, Iowa, we had a meeting in the home like this, and it's permissible, and the Lord told us to do that. The Lord told us that when we find the lost coin, to gather the people far and near, all our neighbors, and gather them into your house and tell them the truth. Jesus said that. It isn't wrong to have the meeting in the house. Don't let anyone tell you that. Well, this sister was having a meeting in her house, home. It was on a farm. And she'd been inviting all that she could. Her two daughters see the truth and embraced the truth. But they were trying to get their husbands out, but they never would come. Well, now the mother-in-law thought she'd ask them once more, so they asked the both son-in-laws. Told them that I was there and I was going to give a talk and wanted to know if they wouldn't come out to hear the talk. She just gave them the invitation, that's all. And they came. Came with the little children and they came to the meeting. And you know, they listened intently. And those two men came up to me and said, well, if that's what my wife's got, that sounds reasonable. But she never told me like you do. No, they'd give husband a little piece here and a little piece there, and sometimes it looked kind of as though it contradicted itself and the husbands couldn't take it. See? But now they listened for a solid hour on the kingdom message and they loved it. The one young man said to me, he said, well, I must go. I've got 500 pullets I want to take to the market. He said, I'm raising chickens, thousands of them. And I have 500 pullets, I want to take them to market in the morning. And I said, that's right, you just go, you're justified. And he had 5 miles to drive, wasn't very far, but he wanted to get home, get up real early in the morning, had a long drive to the market. This was in a small little place, Malcolm, Iowa, if you've ever been through there. Well, about 10 minutes to 11, I was in a room like similar to this, and I was putting on my pajamas, and the telephone rang. And the mother-in-law, of course, his mother-in-law, went to the phone. And it was this young man. And he called her up. Well, after the phone call had finished, she called me, and I was sitting on the bed. And so I came out. And she said, you know, when he drove up to the house, that one hen house, where he had the 500 pullets, the door was open. And he thought that was strange. Of course, he rushed in there with his car, pickup he had. And he jumped out of the pickup and he ran into that door and the chloroform almost knocked him over. And the 500 pullets were gone. They chloroformed them and threw them in a truck and drove away. Well, why in the world do you tell us that? Well, why didn't God judge those men? Because it isn't judgment day. Men get away with anything, murder, anything. It isn't judgment day. Is it? Well, of course not. It's not judgment day. Judgment day will be a 1,000-year day. Then he will judge the entire human family in righteousness. They'll be judged right on the spot. That'll be different, won't it? That's why you're praying for the kingdom. That means the judgment day, means the resurrection day. How long is it? 1,000 years. That judgment day with the Lord is 1,000 years, Peter said in 2 Peter 3:8. We've overlooked half of the Bible. Now let us get it all. I said to this young man, now when you hear who did that job and they find out, he called up the sheriff right away and they broadcast over the air everywhere. They haven't found him yet. You see, it isn't judgment day. Oh, let us get these things straight. That king's highway is going to be something, isn't it? It's not merely going to judge the people in righteousness, but it's going to bless all the nations and the families of the earth, both dead and living. Both Jew and Gentile. I want to give you that one scripture about the Jew. And that's found Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, 12, 13, 14 verses. Talking about Israel, the Lord said, I'll open your graves, I'll cause you to come out of your graves, and I'll plant you in your own land. L-A-N-D, that's Palestine, isn't it? I'll plant you in your own land, and ye shall know that I'm the Lord your God, and I'll put my spirit within you, and ye shall live. He didn't say, I'll take a spirit out of the spirit realm somewhere and put it in you. The Bible don't teach that. That's wrong. But I'll put my spirit within you, and ye shall live. And in that same chapter, there's the valley of dry bones. And what is the valley of dry bones? Reread it, and it'll tell you there. The valley of dry bones is the whole house of Israel. And now think, for the past years, they've been coming back, sinew upon sinew, and flesh upon these bones, and they're standing up. Today they're a nation, aren't they? That's right. And you know what the Lord said to Ezekiel? Excuse me. Prophet Ezekiel, this is a great army. Who are they? And Ezekiel said, Lord, thou knowest. Then the Lord said, this is the whole house of Israel. They're all going to come back from their graves, just as sure as you sit in that seat. And all those you put into their graves in the cemetery are going to come back too. Both Jew and Gentile, all of them. Jesus died for all. And they'll be placed upon the king's highway. And friends, if they don't make good, they're going to be destroyed from among the people. Here's the scripture for it. Acts 3:23. Though people then that will not hear that prophet, the Lord Jesus, in that day shall be destroyed from among the people. But you know, you would think every man, woman, and child would listen. But nevertheless, it's in the Bible that some will be destroyed. Incorrigibly wicked. They'll have to be destroyed. I hope, friends, that you continue to pray, Thy kingdom come. And when you pray, Thy kingdom come, don't say, hold it back, hold it back, we don't want it. That's the way they're doing it today. They don't want the kingdom. Well, of course they don't want the kingdom. They want to do it themselves. But the Lord taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth, even as it is done in heaven. That'll be a beautiful day, won't it? King's Highway. Now tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock, we've planned another meeting, and then tomorrow evening again. I'll be glad to see you all come out. Tomorrow night, I've promised that we'd talk, and I think we'll see a little ad in the paper about that. How can I bless God? Did you ever think of it? Bible says we can. How can I bless God? Now let us sing together, if you don't mind. 264.
264.